cigarette?
My memory's a little fuzzy. Are you still a Nazi?
Episode 457.
There's already like 7 million podcasts talking about pop culture and all that. Makes us happy like shooting at a womp rat, but it's all been done before. And we don't want to be a copycat. We're the leftovers picking up the scraps dropped by the cool kids.
It's a trap.
Good at toss it, good at taste it. Do we love it? Hey, let's face it. Can't erase it. Let's embrace the Tupperware party. Subculture spill over like a vulture. Carry over counterculture. Push over pop culture.
Leftovers.
And we're the uncool kids. What's to say has already been said.
Leftovers.
Pretty sure that the only talent is the band that's singing this. Pop culture leftovers.
Hey, welcome to Pop Culture Leftovers, the only podcast that sounds even better the second day after it's been uploaded. I'm Brian.
I'm Joe.
And we're the leftovers. And yeah, man. Welcome to our Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. It sounds like a romance movie title. The Dial of Destiny, like calling that special someone.
Right, like lovers that meet over the radio or something
like
that.
Yeah, or like a 900 number back in like the late 90s or something. Call Dial
$9
Destiny.
A minute.
Yeah.
You're 18.
$4.99 for the first 3 minutes, $8.99 thereafter. Dial of Destiny. Find the one that you love. So, or like maybe the soap. That's their new slogan. You know?
The Dial of Destiny. It is your destiny to be clean.
Yeah.
To be a squeaky boy.
Yeah. See, people are going to miss jokes like this when the show's gone, Joe. Because like
that was a missed marketing opportunity. You're right.
Man, shit. I just cleaned up there, didn't I? Wow. Brought down the fucking house with my soap joke and my 900 number joke that's dated as fuck.
Like 1-900, that's a thing.
This show, honestly, this show is dated as fuck. We haven't been relevant in about 5 years, Joe. People stopped caring back in 2015, if I'm being honest. Anyway, welcome to the episode. I haven't introduced the guests. We got Paul Hart.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We got Billy Blinks.
Happy to be here.
And we have Tristan Brown.
Thanks for having me, and happy to be here.
Yeah, so let's get to it. Don't worry, we'll say our farewells at the end here. But let's jump into the Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny review. And this movie was directed by James Mangold, written by Mangold, Jez Butterworth, John Henry Butterworth, and David Koepp. And stars Harrison Ford, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Antonio Banderas, Toby Jones, Boyd Holbrook, Mads Mikkelsen. And it's set in 1969 and follows Indiana Jones and his estranged goddaughter, Helena Shaw, trying to locate a device that could change the course of history before Jürgen Wöhler, a Nazi-turned-NASA scientist, can take it for himself and change the outcome of World War II. We are going to be jumping into spoilers for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, so here's your spoiler warning.
This is a Pop Culture Leftovers spoiler warning. Today's forecast calls for spoilers straight in your dickhole. You have been warned, spoiler pussies.
All right, spoilers from this point out, and we're going to rate the movie. Here's our rating system.
The rating system is simple. If the leftovers don't like something, they toss it. If they do like something, they suggest you taste it. And if it's brilliant, it gets a Tupperware rating. If all the leftovers love it, then it gets the pinnacle of success, a Tupperware party.
Hold that thought. We got a contest. I'll just send the winners the codes next week. I apologize. Jumping ahead of myself. We have a contest. It's for the movie Assassin Club. And, get ready for an action-packed ride with Assassin Club, now streaming on Redbox On Demand. Henry Golding stars as an elite assassin who must kill six targets around the world, only to discover they're also out to kill him. Sam Neill and Noomi Rapace also star in this must-see globe-trotting action thriller. It's directed by Camille Delamar. Stream Assassin Club instantly on Redbox today. It's rated R from Paramount Pictures. And enter the contest. And if you've been listening, you know how to enter contests. I'm not even going to go over the rules and how to do it. So there you go. If you're a list, I doubt this is someone's first episode. So people don't enter the contest anyway, so it doesn't really matter. So, why am I saying all this, Joe?
Yeah, why indeed, right?
Real bummer if this is someone's first episode.
It'd be very ironic.
The Assassin Club got to this podcast, killed us. So there you go. Stream Assassin Club today. Anyway, let's see here. Indiana Jones, The Dial of Destiny, rating system, toss it, taste it, Tupperware. And a couple weeks ago, I saw the movie at an early critics screening with Connor from Cinefied.com. I absolutely loved the movie. I watched it again today. I still enjoyed it quite a bit. I don't think it's as good as the first three. If I'm going to rate these movies, I'm going Raider. It's really a toss up. It could any day of the month. It could be like Raiders I love the most, and then the next day it could be The Last Crusade. So it's a toss up between those two movies, and then definitely Temple of Doom next. Followed by this movie, and then lastly, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. But I thought that this was a great send-off. I really did. I didn't have any problems until after I got out of the movie and I started talking to Connor about it, and then he started like throwing out all these other things. And then I talked to another buddy of mine who said, like, why didn't... And if you've seen the movie, you'll understand this. What happened to the murder charge? Like, why... like. Did it just go away? Because, like, that was never addressed. The murder charge of Indiana Jones, like, you know, because he was wanted for murder. And it's never explained at the end. And I guess I just came to the conclusion that when, you know, the Nazis were on the plane with the CIA and they killed everybody on that plane, and the CIA... What is that clicking noise? Stop it. Now it stopped and no one's admitting to it. Somebody said, for the love of fucking Christ, who's doing that? Nothing, Joe.
I literally been muted since the show started, so I know it hasn't been me.
Somebody's clicking a pen over there or something.
I just watched
the Skype. You'll see the sound pop up around someone's thing. You'll be able to snake him out here.
Yeah, I know. I didn't have the Skype thing up anyway. I just think that there's that scene on the plane. Nobody's still fessing up to it, and it's driving me crazy. Somebody fucking did it.
Hey, I'll just take one for the team.
All right, Tristan.
Sounds like somebody who knows they're guilty just trying to act like they're taking one.
Hey, I'm just doing the noble thing here.
They don't call him Shifting Tristan for nothing. You know what? Fuck that spoiler. They never addressed it. Whatever. I'm done. I gave it a Tupperware. I still love the movie. I guess maybe after more viewings, I might not like it as much. But right now, I'm on like an Indiana Jones high because I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought it was the perfect kind of like, way to go out with this movie. It was way better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and that's what I wanted from it. And I thought the MacGuffin was good. I thought the villain was good. I do think that they could have used Boyd Holbrook a little bit more, especially under James Mangold, who worked with Boyd Holbrook, and they did such a great job with Logan. This is a huge ensemble cast. They didn't give Antonio Banderas a lot to do in this one either. But then again, he wasn't in the movie as much as Boyd Holbrook. But we'll unpack it a lot more. I really want to hear what you guys thought of the movie. Joe, what'd you think?
I had a lot of fun with this one. I've seen it one time, and for me, it doesn't reach the heights of the original three, but it is so much better than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull that it settles in really comfortably at a high taste it for me. I think that The Last Crusade is my favorite, and then Raiders is just slightly below it. They're both stellar Tupperwares, in my opinion. Temple of Doom, I would also give the... That one was just so fond of me in my childhood that I don't think I can take the nostalgia glasses off when I watch it. So it's still a Tupperware to me, but I don't think it's quite as good as the first one and the third one. And yeah, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, it's got all sorts of issues to it. But this one was way better than I expected it to be. I wasn't sure how the de-aging stuff would look, and I thought the first 30 minutes of this was really, really delightful. And I was really watching it with a critical eye, and it didn't seem off to me at all. I had enough fun just going along on the adventure with him that I was able to leave all that other stuff behind and just get sucked into the ride. That being said, I this movie feels kind of like one giant chase scene. And so in a way, it doesn't really feel like the Indiana Jones movies of old, but you know, Harrison Ford is as great as ever in it. And I love everything that he's been doing lately, from what he's doing in Shrinking to his performance in this. I'm really, really, really jazzed to just see him still out there doing it. And I think he said recently too, that he has no plans to ever retire from acting. And I think that that's really cool. You know, Harrison Ford's just one of those actors that he's been in so much stuff that I love throughout my entire life. I'm genuinely stoked anytime I see him in anything. And this movie felt like such a good send off for his, you know, one of his signature characters, that I really, really loved that about it. I thought all the supporting cast around him was really good. I think this is maybe the first thing I've ever seen Phoebe Waller Bridge or whatever. I totally slaughter her name. Is that it?
You said it, but it was very like unsure and almost like if she was listening, kind of disrespectful.
Okay, yeah, that's probably where I was gonna go at. Yeah, so I'll tell you what, I've been listening to some other reviews, and there are some people out there that really hate her. I don't know why, but wow, people had shit to say about her that I don't agree with the negative reactions to her character. I understood why people didn't like Shia LaBeouf's character as Mutt in the last one, but I didn't get that same vibe from this movie. And I don't know, I liked it. I want to see it again. I don't know if I want to sit in the theater for another 2.5 hours to go through the entire thing again, but for sure this is one that I'll be picking up when it comes out on digital release. And it's a high taste it for me. It was fun.
Okay. Paul, what'd you think?
Yeah, man, we, the kids and I, watched Raiders and, Last Crusade, and man, Last Crusade, I think that's my number one, and Raiders is right under there. So we were on an Indiana Jones high, and, you know, I was texting you to kind of see if there was like a lot of creepy factors, 'cause I didn't want to deal with them being all weird in the theater. But I took the kids, and you know, it was wild. Like I do think maybe because I had the kids, I felt like it was a tad too long, and it could have been trimmed down to keep it tight around that 2 hour mark, like the other ones, or the 2 hours and 10 minutes. I loved all of the action scenes. I thought all the action scenes were a lot of fun. I did love Phoebe Waller-Bridge character, and I loved their little what the hell was his name? Was it Teddy? The little kid that was with them throughout the movie.
Yeah, Teddy.
Yeah, I thought he was so much fun. You know, like, and I did re-listen to your non-spoiler review, but man, like, I did love the de-aging with Harrison Ford, but when he talked, it was like, oof, they got to do something with that voice, because he sounds like old man grumpy Ford, but it looks like 30-year-old Ford. Yeah, but like, I don't know what it was. And like a big thing for me today was I had time to go see it again. And I was like, I really don't want to sit in the theater again. So because of that, I'm at a taste it. Like I did, it's way better than Kingdom of Crystal Skull. There were parts that I feel dragged on, but like the action was awesome. I think this is a really, really great villain with Mads Mikkelsen. you know, I did. I love the ending, and I have been, you know, I know we're going to break it down a little bit more. I have been reading a lot of hate towards kind of like what happens with the Dial of Destiny. And I don't get the hate because I really loved kind of what they did and how that worked and where they ended up and all that stuff and why they ended up. I really enjoyed that. Like lots of it felt like an old indie movie, but it just, I don't know if watching that first and third one kind of put a damper of like, oh man, dude, I just saw the two best ones. How can this live up to it? Maybe I should have watched Kingdom of the Crystal Skull before and I'd probably be at a high taste of it, but I'm just at a taste of it. But this has caused a huge rift between my two kids, because Hazel absolutely hated this movie. She fucking hated this. And Emmett, I was kind of telling him about the rating systems, and he's like, I think you should give an oven because it's like fresh hot. I'm like, okay, that doesn't exist. You're going to get yelled at by Brian. Shut your mouth. We don't make up ratings here, dude. But like, he was even telling me, he's like, it's like that. It's like the first one we watched, because they have like the scary animals, like the spiders and the eels and all that. Like, he just had a blast, and then he thought it was really cool and they jumped out of the plane. So, but we saw this on Friday, and they have been arguing with each other of why it's good and why it's not good. So that's been kind of fun to watch. But I'm like in the middle of them, because I did have a really fun time with it, but it just isn't that indie movie that I fell in love with when I was my son's age. So I'm at a taste it.
Oh, that's perfectly fine. I guess for me, one of the reasons why I love this movie so much is like, I like really good bootstrap paradox stories. And I felt like this was a pretty good one, where it's like you have this thing that you have something going, you have like, they're on this quest, they're doing this thing, and it deals with time travel, and the whole thing with the watch being on the bone, like the wrist bone of the, you know, dead Archimedes. So it's like, it fucks with my head when they do a really good bootstrap paradox, like when that watch is there, but Indy hasn't done the adventure yet. So I'm like, but it's already happened.
Exactly. It was always going to happen.
It's already happened, but we haven't seen it yet. And Indy hasn't done it yet, but the watch is there. So it has happened. Like, that whole bootstrap paradox thing really fucks. It makes me think a lot, like how. And I love the fact that I can never figure it out. And it, like, Terminator 2, in a way, has like its own bootstrap paradox, where it's like, you know, Kyle Reese goes back into the past and, you know, gets Sarah Connor pregnant. And it's like, but he's the father from the future. It's so weird to me. So that's one of the reasons why I love this movie so much. And another reason is the fact that Indiana Jones gets to go back into the past and see a part of history that he's obsessed with. I just loved that for the character. Like, in every movie he talks about history, and we get to see him up in front of the class, and he's talking about, and he actually gets to go back and see it. And he's just, he wants to stay there. I loved that for that character. It made me love this movie. And another detail real quick, and I'll get the rest of your thoughts, guys, but these just keep coming to me, is when we first see him teaching in class, you see all the girls like fawning over him, like in, I think it was in Raiders, and they're just like, you know, giving him goo goo gaga eyes. And then by this movie, the kids aren't studying. They don't give a shit. And I was just like, it's kind of a cool bookend to see like how things have changed from like the, you know, the 40s to, you know, to the 60s with this character. And I really liked that. All right. Anyway, Billy, what did you think?
Yeah, I actually had a lot of fun with this movie, and I honestly think it's a shame. I had sent some of you guys a picture of the theater when I went in New York, and it was an empty theater on the Sunday, which I really thought was a shame. And I really do think this movie's becoming a big victim of the tradespeople not being able to separate a lot of this Lucasfilm behind the scenes stuff, the narrative going on with that versus the audience and people like ourselves just going to watch a movie and have fun with it. Because I think you could just see that in the, even the Rotten Tomatoes score, right? It's 68 versus 88 versus, the, you know, it just seems like people were looking for almost expecting too much. Like, I mean, I understand some of the criticisms. I didn't really love the Phoebe Waller-Bridge character. I thought it was just like a little bit too much. Maybe it went on a little bit too long in an antagonistic type of way, but at the end of the day, didn't ruin the movie for me. I thought the effects were cool. I agree with you guys. I thought everything as far as the history of it, like when you saw the mural and you saw the carving of the plane that was a dragon, the propellers and stuff, that was really cool to me. This idea that Indy ended up becoming a part of history unintentionally, but in a way that was meant to be and actually affected the way that the world progressed, I think was a really, really cool bookend. Like you said, Bri, I think it's kind of a nice nod to him being a preserver and protector of history and never wanting it for himself to kind of get that cool moment and that kind of forever thing that at least him and the Phoebe, you know, Bridgewater character will know. Overall, I thought Mads Mikkelsen was believable. I thought that he really, you know, went for it. I thought the motivations made sense. I didn't think it was like an outlandish thing as far as where he was going to try to go. And it wasn't, you know, it was at the end of the day to take over the world, but it wasn't some crazy go back into Roman times, like you said, and try to take over with technology. So I didn't think it didn't go way over the top. I thought Harrison Ford, you can tell when he really is into something, like some of the stuff he's been doing recently, like some of shrinking and this, when he really wants to be into something, he's into it. And at the end of the day, you also got to get the John Williams score, which I thought, you know, obviously who the hell won't enjoy that. I agree with you guys, a little too long. I think you could shave 20 minutes off and that's probably a perfect length. You know, the ending stuff did drag on just a little bit. I think would like to have gotten to that sooner. And I would agree. I would put it at a solid taste it, like you would say, Paul. I would probably recommend somebody to wait for the DVD and or Blu-ray digital at this point. But again, I overall enjoyed my experience, but think it's mainly getting a lot of hate unfairly due to the kind of critic stuff.
All right. Tristan.
Yeah, so I'm a big Indy fan. I'm actually one of those Temple of Doom apologists. That's actually my favorite Indiana Jones movie because it was the first one that I ever saw. And I would watch that VHS over and over and over and over again. It's like one of the staples of my childhood. And then I, you know, discovered Raiders after that and then saw Last Crusade in the theater. But yeah, like I went into this with big expectations. I'm someone who saw Crystal Skull one time and never saw it again. And, you know, I actually watched this twice and my rating changed between both viewings. I think the first time I was really nitpicky because I guess it was me trying to have this movie give me the film that I envisioned and not really taking it for what it is. And so I was very critical, you know, the fact that, you know, the de-aging technology in the prologue just really took me out that first time. And I was just so distracted. I felt like I was watching like a video game cutscene, like a really good one at that. But a video game cutscene that's, you know, right before you start playing the first level. And I was just thrown off every time they would have those very close, lingering close-ups on Harrison Ford's face. I don't know why they chose that because it looked fine to me. It looked great when he's in action and he's running on the train. There's actually like a really great shot where he's running on top of the train and it just looks fantastic. But whenever they're just zooming in on that face, I was just so distracted. And you guys mentioned the voice, but they also kept Harrison Ford's old eyes as well, if you noticed. Just the way that he looks, the glossy stares that he does, that just took me out because we're so familiar with what Harrison Ford looks like when he's young that we can detect any type of irregularity. And you know, I don't know why they didn't use the deepfake technology that they used on Luke Skywalker and Boba Fett, or why they didn't de-age the voice. Like, I don't see why that didn't occur because that's a no-brainer. And we know that they're going to have that someone's going to, you know, create this on the internet and de-age the voice and all that. We know that's coming. But yeah, overall, that opening scene, though, when I watched it the second time, I appreciated it a lot more. Like, it's just a fantastic opening, Indiana Jones opening, and it felt like it was like a very expensive Adventure of the Week or, you know, Saturday morning cartoon. And I mean that in a very good way. I don't mean that to be critical. It was just so fun. And I would wish that Lucasfilm would just start making these little 15-minute shorts like that, that they could play before other films or something. That would be great if they could just de-age Harrison Ford and just do that for, you know, little 15-minute adventures. The characters are great. Harrison Ford, he showed up. I think he did the best that he could do for a man his age, even though you have to stretch your imagination a little bit. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I thought she was fantastic. I don't understand any of the hate that she's getting because she was nailing that character, in my opinion. I didn't really care for the character choices in the first half, but when there's like a shift when she starts kind of working in tandem with Harrison Ford, and I think her character really comes together. My favorite scene in this entire movie is when she's on that motorcycle and she's zooming towards that plane as it's taking off and it's raining. That shit just looks so fucking awesome. And overall, you know, I'm going to give this movie a high-tasted, a very high-tasted, because I just really took it for what it is. It's a movie that is basically an Indiana Jones film, beat for beat. At times, it does feel like it's playing the greatest hits a little bit. But overall, if you ask, like, what do you want in an Indiana Jones movie? This movie has it. There's, like, nothing missing when you think about it, really. So, yeah, high tasted for me.
Yeah. I guess the only thing that was kind of missing is, like, more whip, you know?
More whip, yeah.
Yes.
Like, whipping a fool. Like, whipping the shit out of someone like he was doing in those earlier films. He didn't do that once. That's the only thing I would say was missing. He didn't kill enough people.
I also liked how it was a nice touch when, you know, he's at the Shaw household and he leaves the hat behind and she hands it to him. I thought that that was a nice touch. I loved at the end the callback to Raiders when, you know, he asked where it doesn't hurt and she showed the elbow. I mean, it's just like, you know, that got me. That got me emotionally.
Yeah, that was really touching.
And I was not expecting to see Karen Allen in the movie. I know I found out afterwards that her name's on the poster, but I didn't know going in. So when she popped up at the end and she was there, I was very happy to see her. We found out what happened. I think what the choice, you know, I did see a meme where somebody was complaining about Lucasfilm and the choice to have all these characters come back older and be downtrodden and their lives have just gone to shit. You know, we saw that with Luke Skywalker, and then again here, you know, with Indy, you know, after his son died and the marriage fell apart. But I thought the way that, you know, we knew Shia LaBeouf wasn't going to come back. We knew that they had to, like, throw in something about the character in this movie. And, you know, I think a lot of fans were probably – they hated the character so much that they were actually kind of happy that he died. I think story-wise, I think it put Indiana Jones in an interesting interesting position to see, you know, he finally gets, you know, the girl and that he deserves and that he wants to be with. And then it all falls apart because of the death of a son. And we know that, you know, that kind of stuff happens in real life. Marriages do fall apart when a child dies and it's a tragic thing. And so I thought that it was incorporated well and not used comically, like, oh, you know, Mutt's dead, ha ha ha, you know, because
they were able to make a real emotional piece out of it.
Yeah, exactly. So you take the bad and then you make it into something, you know, good for the story.
Yeah, it was kind of reminiscent for me of Spider-Man No Way Home in that they were able to take the amazing Spider-Man character, that which was generally disliked by audiences, and turn it into this emotional center that afterwards it almost kind of raises it better. Like, now I feel a little bit better about the Mutt character, because I don't know if we've ever seen an Indiana Jones movie where he had such an emotional line delivery talking about losing somebody that meant a great deal to him. I mean, to the point where it destroyed his life losing that person. I don't know if we've ever had an emotional line delivery like that in one of these movies, and it worked incredibly well in this.
Yeah, it did. It really did. I thought Phoebe, I liked Phoebe Waller-Bridge's character, but then after I talked with Connor, I loved her acting. I thought she was fantastic. I've been a big fan of her, you know, like I loved Fleabag both seasons. And but Connor did, he brought up something that I hadn't even thought of, because like I just came out of that movie with like, you know, I just was like, oh my gosh, I loved it. And Connor was like, what happened to her to make her be this thief? Thief that just sells stuff on like the black market. Like, what happened to her? Why did she do that? Where did that turn come from? It's never really explored or explained.
Yeah, they just kind of make vague references to her getting into a bunch of debt. Because she's talking with Teddy at one point about, oh, if we sell this, we'll be completely out of debt.
Yeah. Huh. Maybe she's got a gambling problem. I don't know.
Something to do with bail money and then getting betrothed to the one gangster's son.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes a little bit more sense. I didn't even catch that, Joe. I loved all the, Paul, you mentioned a lot of chase scenes. I think when you got Indiana Jones, like they tried to have him do physical stuff in this movie, and I think he did really well for his age. But I think you gotta put him on something that can make him move, like a horse or a,
exactly.
Yeah, a lot of vehicles.
I loved all those scenes. Yeah,
you know, I loved the horse scene. That was
fantastic.
Yeah, man. Dodging that train. I loved it, seeing him on a horse. And then being able to watch him in that automatic rickshaw driving around.
That was my favorite chase scene. Yeah, yeah. I love
those
that.
Look fun.
I had so much fun with that. I loved those chase scenes. I thought it was a lot of fun. What did you guys think about the MacGuffin, the Archimedes dial?
I thought it was really clever that they did that. You know, we've heard talk for years that there's going to be an Indiana Jones movie where he's going after the Spear of Destiny. And so we get that with like, was it the Lance Longitus or whatever the fuck they call it. But it's basically that spearhead that pierced Christ when he was on the crucifix. And that was kind of the inspiration for the first Indiana Jones movies, because Hitler in real life was obsessed with finding this thing because he thought it'd make his armies invincible. Supposedly. And I thought it was pretty great that found its way into this movie, and then they were able to move past it right away, be like, oh, it's a fake, but this thing is real. And then leaning into that I think it's called the Antikythera, if I'm remembering that multisyllabic word correctly, but that's based on like an actual find that was found by divers in the Mediterranean Sea, and it was something that kind of blew scientists away at the time, that they didn't think the Greeks were capable of making a machine with tiny little gears and stuff in it. And so the fact that they were able to pull on so much stuff from real history to make this movie for kind of both of the MacGuffins that were in it, I thought was a really nice touch.
Yeah, I agree. I loved it. It definitely took me back to Raiders and the Last Crusade of, you know, we have this part of it. Now we need to go get this part, and we need to deal with like kind of these tests or like these things. You know, we have to go deep water diving, which is a lot of fun. I was a little nervous because I don't know if it was on. It was probably on here. But, you know, there was a lot of talk that there was going to be lots of time travel and all of that. And I was really happy with the way it all came about, you know, because. Looking back on the Indiana Jones movies, a lot of them are like the conclusions are very far fetched, but this felt very Indiana Jones when they end up using the Dial of Destiny. But I thought it was fun trying to retrieve all the pieces or the two pieces of the Dial of Destiny and trying to get it back. I laughed so hard. I know it was in a trailer, but when Mads Mikkelsen is like, you know, I stole it, and she's like, yeah, well, then he stole it from you and I stole it from him. That's capitalism. Like, I just kind of loved like that was the true Indiana Jones part of this movie to me, was just always kind of having it either in your possession or close to your possession, and then having to take another couple steps or suffering a couple of setbacks and you have to go to these fun new places, have to do fun new trials. Like, I loved when they were in like his tomb, they're crossing that bridge, all of that stuff. It was just, and I think the Dial of Destiny worked perfect to get us there, and the payoff was fantastic.
I love, you know, you're talking about, you know, things that are very Indiana Jones that you loved in this movie. I loved the fact that like James Mangold and Jez Butterworth, they wrote things in this movie showing how not he was such an action guy in the previous movies, but he also was just fucking smart.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And in this movie, they had those true Indiana Jones professor moments where, you know, they're the rickshaw gets busted and then, you know, let me see your gum, Teddy. And then he's like, this is Moroccan gum. It's like heat resistant. And he, you know, uses it to seal it. And they're on their way. And I'm just like, yes, of course he would know it's Moroccan gum and it's heat resistant. This is fucking, he's a professor. Indiana Jones knows everything. And then, you know, when they're getting ready to fly into like into the sky, into the portal, into the, you know, the Dial of Destiny has opened up the portal. And he's telling them that, what was he telling? He's like, Archimedes.
Continental drift.
Continental drift. He didn't account for continental drift. And he's like, you're way off. And it's one of those things where it's like, at the time, I didn't even know if Indiana Jones believed that or if it was a fake out. You know, he's so smart that he's going to bring up continental drift just to fuck with this guy. I didn't even know if he really believed that or if it was just a fake out. And I was just like, either way, I was just like, I love it. Because Indiana Jones is just proving his intelligence here and putting doubt into the villain. And I kind of loved that.
Yeah. That was my favorite moment of the entire movie. And I'm glad you brought up the thing. The continental drift stuff was so cool. It put a smile to my face because, you know, at that moment, you're like, oh, this isn't going to go as planned. It brings your head back to the tomb. Oh, this makes sense. They're not going where they want to be going. And I think that's like the aha moment. And I think it's like everyone said, it's very well earned throughout. So I think that was my favorite moment literally of the entire film.
Oh my God. And the look on Mads Mikkelsen's face when they're there and just like the sheer terror of like, you know, these soldiers throwing like these giant spears, shooting these giant spears at them, thinking it's a dragon, bring down their dragon.
That was wild.
Just
fighting them.
The shock and realization of like, oh my God, I fucked up. And I'm here. We got to get home. Like everything that I've worked towards. And, you know, bringing the Nazis back into power and correcting Hitler's mistakes and, you know, and it's a villain you can hate. Everyone hates Nazis. Yeah. And so it's a villain that you can really hate. And to see a villain that thinks they're so smart and so brilliant, get their comeuppance. Man, it made me feel good that I'm watching this movie and I'm getting to see this because I absolutely loved it. I didn't know how, because we heard they're going to be Nazis in this movie. I just thought it was going to be flashback. I didn't know how they were going to incorporate Nazis into this. And I thought they did it in a brilliant way. And this movie got me so excited. I'm like Jesse Spano over here and shit.
I love seeing an indie villain like receive their comeuppance just through their own hubris, thinking that, you know, hey, I know just as much as you, Dr. Jones. You know, that's why we're neck and neck to try and find this thing. And then they take it that critical step too far of trying to use the thing, which is generally not something you ever see Indy do. I mean, he's kind of gets forced into that position in The Last Crusade in order to save his father. But, you know, then they work it in so the bounds of immortality are only within this cave. So they leave and they're not still immortal or anything. But, you know, in Raiders, you see that they stupidly open the Ark of the Covenant and they get their faces melted off. Yeah.
Holy, you know, Indiana holy Jones, grail. Drinking the wrong grail, you know?
Yes. And, yeah, exactly. That hubris of thinking that, oh, I know better than this, you know, this divine object that has all this power that they're trying to use for selfish ends.
Yeah.
And to see them bite it, And the way the Mads Mikkelsen played that when he's looking around, because at first they're like, yes, this is it. You know, this is where we wanted to be. And then they're getting a better look at exactly what sort of ships are down on the water and what the city actually looks like. And they're like, holy shit, we fucked up bad. And you know, that's one of the things that I've read in complaints is that, like, well, if that plane would have just immediately pulled up, then they would have been out of range of all that shit. And it's like, yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda. This made for really fucking exciting cinema to see this old World War II era bomber, you know, flying around over the top of this ancient sea battle. And it was some wild shit. It was exciting to see that in the third act of this movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I loved just their reaction, and then, you know, this war going on. Like, they show up during a fucking war. And to see the soldiers just thinking it's a dragon and then going after them and them shooting machine guns at them. I don't know. I loved that crossover of, you know, 2,000 years in the future meets the past. You know, Nazis going back into the past is just wild to me.
It's cool too that, like you guys are saying, it's just that decision he makes and that error that gets him killed. There is no, he hits down to the ground and has some kind of standoff with Archimedes. It doesn't go super campy. It's once he's made that decision, he's in the wrong time, he gets his ass shot down. Like, he doesn't get to have his grand speech or moment. I really appreciated that it didn't move into like the campiness that it could have.
Yeah, I think it went to just the right level of wonder and mystique, you know, that Indiana Jones films are known for. Like, it's not an over-the-top ending. He always sort of comes across this wonder of nature, this miracle that he witnesses. And here he is, you know, being able to go back in time and actually be part of time, but not, like you said, too much to where it became campy. Like, you know, if he would have put on like an outfit and started fighting with them, that would have been campy, right? But like, he just goes there just and kind of, you know, observes it passively and then goes back to his time. You know, I thought it was well done.
The one guy in the movie that was like, you know, you had Boyd Holbrook and then you had the other goon. That guy was fucking huge.
Gigantic. Oh my God, man.
Did he even say any words?
Nothing. He was like Nan in Superman 2. Yeah. But man, yeah, he didn't say anything. I didn't hear him say anything. But man, he was just huge. There were parts where, oh my God, when they're on the boat and Indiana Jones gets up and he
picks him up like an infant.
Yeah, picks him up and sits him down, and I'm just like, oh my God. I felt like somebody, it was like elder abuse. Like, I felt like, I felt so bad for Indiana Jones. Like, you know, cause like we've seen Indiana Jones go up against big guys and get his ass kicked in the past. Like that, you know, on that plane when he's fighting that big Russian?
The big Nazi dude.
Yeah.
That's by the Nazi plane and Raiders. And then the big guy down in the mines, Temple of Doom, same actor playing both of those roles.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I love that Teddy took him out, too. Well, actually, that's what Emmett loved.
He's so clever.
Yeah, he was like, the little kid killed the big guy. I'm like, yeah, I don't get any fucking ideas, dude.
Yeah.
I love the way that big guy played it off, too, when he realized he was fucked.
Yeah.
I still want to know who is making noise at the beginning of the fucking podcast. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
The world will never know.
It's so random.
I know.
Like, you've been sitting there just stewing about it this whole time.
Yeah. Who did it? You know who you are. I haven't forgotten. So, yeah, man. What would you want to, is this the perfect send off? Should we be done with Indiana Jones?
I want to see another one, to be honest with you, but it's not going to happen, obviously, given the fact that this isn't really living up to the $300 million budget that they somehow spent for this.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're not an Avatar or an Avenger, you don't need to spend $300 million for your movie.
Mm-hmm.
This could have been done, I feel, in 200 or under.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, I would rather go back and see like some sort of young indie stuff. Like, I think that this was the perfect send-off for Harrison Ford. And, I mean, really, if you really want to get down to brass tacks, The Last Crusade was the perfect send-off. And then they tried to do it again, failed. And this time, I feel they succeeded. But I certainly don't think that they should roll that dice a third time. But that's not to say that I'm done with the character, because I love the character. And I love the different ideas that I've seen bandied about the internet with... like one was like saying Oscar Isaac going around like stealing artifacts out of museums and taking them back to where they were stolen from originally. I thought that that was kind of fun. But to just focus on the indie character himself, I think the only way they could get away with doing it is giving us more young indie stuff.
So you cast a new actor.
I mean, you'd pretty much have to do it. And after seeing what they tried to do with Solo and how crucified that actor got, unjustly, I thought, but still, I don't think it could work. But I mean, it worked once upon a time. We did have the young indie series for a while there where there was a different actor cast and playing indie.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. Maybe they should just hire Alden Ehrenreich to be young Indiana Jones, too.
I know, right?
No,
I love that.
I don't think that, I can't see anybody else but Harrison Ford as the character at this point. I really can't.
They did a good job as far as adapting to what his limitations were.
Yeah.
And I feel they can continue to do that. It's basically, if you notice, he's not doing a lot. It's a lot happening around him, and he's on vehicles and things that speed him up. And you know, they can continue with that, you know, just give him a lot of vehicles and things to ride.
He's going to be on a mobility scooter with like big knobby tires.
One of the stairs on there.
You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I like this. I like the way that this one ended. And I feel like if we got another one, yes, I'd love to see more. I would. But I feel like this is the perfect stopping point. I feel like if we got one more, they'd be like, what else can we do to this character going into this movie? How has he changed from the last movie? And we're going to see the character visiting the grave of, you know, Miriam. And I kind of just want to remember those two together at the end of this movie.
Yes.
I really feel like that's – you see that a lot in Hollywood. We've seen it with the Rocky movies. Every Rocky movie that's come out like past five, you know, another character has died. You know, we get Adrian died in Rocky Balboa. And then by the time we get to Creed, Paulie's now dead. And, you know, so it's like they keep – I think if we keep pushing this, you know, we're going to – there's things I just don't want to see. I think that this was a sweet send-off with the two of them together, and this is it. And, God, I know he's fucking 81, 82. Like, I don't – he did great, but I don't know. And
his heart's in it, though. So, I mean, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
He can make things work around him, I feel.
But James Mangold's not willing to come back and do another one, I don't think. So,
I hear a lot of people giving critiques on him, but I felt, I mean, he basically Spielberg this movie. If you said Spielberg made this, I would believe you. Like, I mean, it looked like a Spielberg film. It was like a masterful turn at direction, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think Mangold did a good job with it, too. I didn't notice anything jarring in terms of, you know, it felt like a huge departure in like the way it was shot or anything like that. And I don't think he would come back and do another one either. He seems to be kind of a one and done director on this sort of stuff.
Yeah, he's going to do a Star Wars movie next, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got that Star Wars movie lined up.
Swamp
I do think
too,
the way
right?
that this movie ended, though, like it kind of ended on a note that was a bit of a departure from the previous films. Like, you know, you had, you know, riding off in the sunset, you know, rescuing the village, stuff like that as the opening credits. I'm sorry, the final credits are rolling. I wish we kind of got something like that because it sort of ended on a on a this is over type thing, you know, and I would have liked a more open ending.
I mean, kind of. He reached out and grabbed that hat, like going on another adventure, maybe a bedroom adventure this time.
I thought he just grabbed that hat just so he could call Mary.
Indiana Jones and the Kama Sutra. I love the ending, like, because I do, like, I mean, if they gave us another one, I'd definitely be in the theater seeing it. But I love the, like, I love that I felt like I was saying goodbye to Indy, and that I was actually saying goodbye in a nice way instead of Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I mean, I am all for Joe's idea of going to, like, a young Indiana Jones. Kind of just give me, like, give me a Disney Plus show of India, of a young Indiana Jones being a teacher and always being brought into the principal's office for being late or never grading his kids' work or always coming in with fucked up bruises and scars on his face. Like, just but I'm happy with the way they finished it off here. Like, I feel like a good closure. It ended on a pretty great note. Like it's not the best Indiana Jones for me, but it ended on a high at least. And, you know, that's a good way to go out. Like, leave them smiling. And I definitely was smiling at the end of that movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, me too. It was a feel-good moment. We got to see Miriam and him together. So, yeah. I don't know. Do you guys have anything else to say about this movie?
Touching back on what you brought up about Boyd Holbrook, I totally agreed that he was criminally underutilized in this. I think what we got of him was really, really great. But they should have given him some more stuff to just give his character a little bit more volume. But I loved what we got of him, that he was just kind of this homegrown Southern, like, Nazi fanboy that found, you know, like a teacher to follow. I think there could have been some more meat there for him to chew on. And also, like, I liked seeing Antonio Banderas in this. And I even did, like, a couple, like, looks like that is him, right? And then, you know, you hear his voice and there's no mistaking it. And I feel like he was criminally underutilized as well. It would have been cool. I mean, I'm already complaining about the runtime on this, and here I am saying I want to see more from these other characters. But it's just the little taste that we got of him, I feel like we could have gotten more to it. And with Antonio Banderas' character, I was super shocked to see him go out so soon. It's like he was just there to, like, teach Teddy how to swim. And so, you know, at some point that kid's going in the water and he's going to reach and pull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
He probably knew about reach and pull before that, hanging out in whorehouses.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Antonio Banderas in his he had a Popeye look to him.
Totally.
The only thing was missing was, like,
cans of spinach in that boat.
Yeah, just a corn cob pipe and a can of spinach, and he would have been. Yeah,
he'd have whooped that big Nazi's ass.
I'm tough to the finish because I eat me spinach.
What's the big guy he fights with? Bluto?
Bluto.
It's like Bluto.
Well, it was originally, I think, it was originally Brutus, and then the cartoon changed it to Bluto later. I'm pretty sure.
That was the other way around.
Was it? Was it Bluto, then Brutus?
The original was Bluto, and then they changed him to Brutus for the later renditions.
That might be true.
It might be the other way.
I don't know. Yeah, it might be true. I might have got that wrong, the order. But
yeah, that would have been hilarious if you would have fucking ate some spinach and knocked that big dude up to the fucking moon.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge would play a good olive oil, too.
Yeah, she would have made a good olive oil. Yeah. Anyway. All right. That's any final thoughts? There we go.
No.
There's that noise again. I knew somebody that would be their final thoughts. Just making that fucking noise. All right. Okay, so yeah, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny not doing good in the box office, but I enjoyed it quite a bit. I honestly am probably the only person on the podcast that thinks the runtime was just fine, because what is that clicking noise? Somebody like clipping their nails? What the fuck is going on? Do your personal grooming after we get done. God, it's ridiculous. Are you is someone tweezing right now? Are we tweezing some nostril hairs? What's going on?
Tweezing nostril hairs, Q-tipping, ear holes. Yeah. You know, they like to involve all their holes while they podcast.
That's a good time to tweeze.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know it.
Is Paul fucking with
I have a question.
Holes?
What do you guys think is the what do you guys think is the reason why this isn't doing well?
I wonder how much poor word of mouth it is, because I was shocked by the amount of negative YouTube videos. Like, I had it playing. I started off on New Rock Stars or whatever the name of that channel is, listening to their breakdown. And then it just started auto-playing other reviews, and they were all negative, with some of them just like spitting this hardcore venom. I'm like, how do you... Like, they were like, they undid what they did in Kingdom of Crystal Skull. I'm like, that was a good thing?
Right.
I'm like, what are you complaining about? Yeah, and so yeah. I think that there's some people out there that are really hating this movie just because they're crotchety old Indiana Jones fans who are turning their nose up at this. And I think that there's also a subset of dudes out there who really hate Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
And Kathleen Kennedy.
And Kathleen Kennedy as well. And they're really coming out to just bury this with negative press. I don't think it's near deserving any of the venom that I saw online. After a while, I had to shut those reviews off because I was like, these are fucking bumming me out. I think I feel sorry for these people that they hated this movie so much that they had to make a fucking video like this.
I get the nitpicks and I get the problems that people are having with it, but I can't see a bad movie in this. Like, it's seriously just an Indiana Jones movie with some flaws. The original trilogy isn't perfect. You know, there's things you can nitpick. But for people saying that this is another Kingdom of the Crystal Skulls or it's on the line of that is just ridiculous. There's nothing in this movie that, you know, is akin to frickin' monkey swinging or anything like that.
There's nothing even close to that. It felt like it felt as close to an Indiana Jones movie as I've, you know, as we've gotten in a long, long, long time.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah, I think it was a really good send off. But yeah. All right, guys. This is possibly the last Indiana Jones film, and this is possibly the last Pop Culture Leftovers. I have just reached a point where I just kind of need to put this away and focus on other things, and it's kind of. I know it's sad for some of the listeners, but for me, it's the best thing right now. And if I do have the itch to come back, I will come back. But it's just the amount of stuff that I watch in a week and the amount of work that I put into this. It's kind of overtaken my life, and I need to start focusing on other things because I get obsessed with things like, you know, I want to put out like the best show and I want to, you know, I put a lot of work into like, you know, the episodes, and I watch a lot of things, and sometimes you just need to stop and smell the roses and enjoy life a little bit more. I know that, and this was very enjoyable for me. I'm not saying that it hasn't been. It's just, I do need to start doing other things. I need to start going out and, you know, spending time in the 3D world. So, but I want to, you know, it's been 10 years and this is, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years. This lasted longer than any relationship I've ever had. So it says a lot. I've met a lot of friends along the way, and I can't thank everybody enough that has stuck with us and that has listened over the years. And I know a lot of people this week have reached out and said, you know, you got to do what you got to do, and we'll miss you and everything, and you know, stay in contact. And I know a lot of people. I just said thank you very much, and it's because you know I don't know what to say right now. This is going to be a big adjustment for me. Like, you know, it'll be like, I don't have to record an episode this week, you know, it'll be a big adjustment for me. And so I don't know how I'm going to feel about this, and try not to get all sappy about it either. I don't know, Joe. If anybody thinks that the show's ending because you're now the new, you know, a new leftover, that's not true at all.
Thank you for dispelling that and pointing it out.
I'm sure people fucking thought it. I'm sure there's some fuckers that thought it. Jake left.
This is all Jake's fault.
Jake left. Brian's done. No, I mean, it's. Yeah, it was kind of a snowball effect, but you know, even if Jake was still here, I think I still would want to end it for a while, if not forever. So, you know, that's just where I'm at. Yeah,
it's all good, dude. I totally know where you're coming from with it, and yeah, I got complex feelings over the whole thing. I'm super happy for you though that you're going to get to go out and live a regular life, because you know, I haven't been doing this workload for near as long. I've been a full-time leftover for like 6-7 months. This is 6 months, something like that. And you know, did a bunch last year, and so I got a good taste of the workload, and for 10 years of that's a fucking heroic effort, my friend. Yeah. So you know, enjoy the rest. I know I will.
yeah, exactly. Honestly, I wouldn't have gone this long if it wasn't for all the listeners and friends that I've made. You guys kept pushing and, you know, supporting, and it made me want to keep coming back every week and give people more content every week. And I understand that some people are going to feel like it's like a loss, you know, it's like you're losing something. And I'm sorry. Cause I've had podcasts that I've fallen in love with and then they've left, and there's kind of like that, you know, that loss. And, I'm really sorry about that. I don't like letting people down. But this, I got to think about myself first.
Certainly. So, Brian, you've never let down a single person who's listened to this show or has ever podcasted with you, and I think all the messages attest to that. So we all just appreciate you're the best fucking dude, and we know you're gonna do what's best for you, but like I appreciate you as a friend, and you've been there for me and inspired me, and I know you've been there for everybody else too, but we just appreciate you, brother. I know that everyone feels that way.
A year from now, people are going to find out that I died during autoerotic asphyxiation or something.
There's an E-trolley Hollywood story somewhere.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you the real reason why I'm leaving. It's got an iTunes review here. It's titled Stubborn. And it's a five star, but it comes from Ooh Ryan 5, and it says, all in all, it has to be the best podcast that discusses just about every movie and keeps the 4-hour podcast entertaining. My only complaint is there are no timestamps to isolate key moments of the 4-hour podcast. Apparently, I'm not the only person wanting timestamps, so I would suggest the community withhold the 1,000th review until demands are met. Other than that, keep this podcast going. The last line, other than that, keep this podcast going. I'm stopping just because of this. So
that's the culprit.
This is a special fuck
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
So one person ruined it for everyone. So Ooh Ryan 5, you killed PCL.
Public enemy number one.
You killed it. You killed it, man. So
yeah, I just want to add, Ben, that you know, I'm going to piggyback and say that you can't look at this as, you know, you're taking something away from people. You got to look at it that you actually gave us a lot, man. You gave us years of amazing content and memorable moments. So it's not that you're taking it away. It's, man, let's be thankful that you even gave it to us in the first place, man.
Oh, man, dude. 100%. I'm going to piggyback off of Tristan's piggyback. Double piggyback. Matt, like, and
could
I
we get a triple piggyback?
Triple piggyback.
It's human centipede right now.
God damn it, Billy.
Oh, my God. Have you ever heard
Top
of
one, Joe?
Have you ever heard of the human centipede? It's like a bunch of Santas that are shitting. Okay, no. Go ahead. They should make that holiday movie, the human centipede.
Yeah, they definitely should.
No. Should make a really big one that goes around the tree.
Rockefeller Center.
Paul, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, man. You know, I can only speak for myself, but I know a ton of people are going to agree, man. I started this just looking for entertainment, and you know, you and I have talked about this. Hazel is PCL years old, and you know, I found this podcast on a late summer night with headphones in, trying to find something to keep me awake while I was on bottle duty or nighttime duty, and I found you guys, and I got entertainment. But man, 10 years later, I have a family. I have connections I never thought I would ever fucking have. I mean, just with everybody that's on tonight, like Joe and I would call each other every day during the pandemic. I mean, there was weeks where we would just talk every day and just laugh and bullshit. Like I went to Rod Clarabout's house, a fucking Jess Candelori and I crashed Billy's fucking wedding, man. Like Tristan has donated to my classroom. I mean, I can say it about a ton of people in this podcast community that I never would have found without you, Jake, and Joe. So like, I feel super selfish. Like I got what you were giving at first, and then I took a whole lot more, and I'm just forever grateful for that. I got people I consider family and brothers and sisters. You know, got to do fantastic podcasts. You know, I started a podcast because of this. You know, it's just there's so much to be thankful for. And at the end of the day, just want you to, you know, I want you to be happy. So, yeah, it's sad. But shit, dude, I got so much more than I ever thought I could from this podcast. And I just can't thank you enough, man. So fucking cheers to a fantastic fucking 10 years and for changing my life, man.
Thank you, Paul. I love you, buddy.
I love you too, man. I fucking love you, man, dude. I fucking texted you about the divorce, and the first thing you said was, "Don't hurt yourself, man." That was straight up love, dude. I fucking will forever remember that, man, dude. You are my guy. Anything you need, I will be there. But I fucking love you, dude.
The feeling is 1,000% mutual. Like you have. There's been so many people that have just been like, "We're here for you. If you need anything, if you need to talk," and you know, I really appreciate all the love, man. I really do. Even Orion 5, dude, it's cool, dude. I was just fucking with you. But if you do see a timestamp on this episode, it's gonna say where I call you a dick, which is like right now. So timestamp it now. Just kidding, Orion. He gave us a 5-star. But no, so many people have just been so supportive, and I don't know, man. I don't know if this is the last show. If it is, who knows? I could be like Tom Brady and come back next week, you know, like for all those years that he kept saying he was going to retire and then come back. Or I could be like Jordan. I'll be like Jordan and come back to the Wizards, which will be like me coming back and being on another podcast altogether. Like I'm just a part of Scenic Cast or something going forward.
But Brian comes back, but he doesn't prepare for any episodes anymore. No more notes.
I'm just kidding.
Fucking wings it.
I could never podcast with Steve every week.
I feel like Brian's just like asking us to leave him in the past, like Indy. He's like, just fucking leave me, guys. Back of the flinch.
Yeah.
Like, no, Brian, there's plenty of things you could do in the future. Now, fuck it. Just leave me.
Yeah.
So Billy's going to punch you in the face, I guess.
Dragging your ass to the future.
It's crazy. We're like, the last episode is Indiana Jones.
Send off. Yeah.
That is wild.
But, yeah, I don't want to stretch this out too much. Just know that, you know, I mean, I'm Joe, for now, we're putting a permanent lid on it. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
But I'll still be around. You guys can, you know, message me and I'll still be around. I still won't join the Leftover Army group, but I'll still be around.
Are we still going to meet in Chicago once a year?
Yeah, I plan on going to C2E2 and hanging out with everybody.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I think I need that. I think that it should be a constant going forward. But, yeah, let's button this bitch up. let's button this bitch up. Hey, I want to see that's the t-shirt I want to see at C2E2 next year. Let's button this bitch up.
Sure.
Anyway, seriously, I was gonna be like, hey, so Billy, where can people find you? do some fucking flex. At the end of the episode, some self-serving plugs. Oh Christ. Yeah, Billy, if you want to, oh God,
no, it's not about, don't worry about people that were to fucking find me who are listening to this, it's all good.
Anyway, guys, seriously, it's been a wild 10 years. It's been a wild 10 years. Me and Jake still talk, most days, you know, we send each other a message or something. Me and Jake are going to Indianapolis to see, Oppenheimer in 70mm IMAX. Next month.
Very nice. Very nice.
So I'll still be catching movies. I just won't be talking about them on here every week. And I'll still be talking with Jake. I mean, he's one of my best friends in the whole world, if not my best friend. So, that is all. All right, guys. This is where I typically say, see you next week. Can't do it this week, Joe.
Nope.
If anything,
see you in another life, brother.
If anything does pop up on the feed, I might have like committed to a couple more contests. So I will throw up just like an old Patreon episode, and I'll tack on a contest. And if people want to enter, they can. So if you see anything pop up in the feed, don't get too excited. It's just a Patreon episode. You should be excited about Patreon though. It's fun. We have a good time on Patreon.
Yeah, those are great.
Anyway, Joe, thank you so much, man, for your 7 months of service.
it was a blast, my friend. Thank you so much.
And Joe, if Phoebe Waller-Bridge is listening and wants to complain, what's your email address?
Yeah, she can give me the Tubby Ninja on Twitter.
There you go. You can at Joe at, yeah, there you go. All right, guys. Thank you for 10 years. I love you all, except for you, Orion. And farewell.
Stop.
Casino!